Where will we be 1,000 years from now? Will we, the human race, be anywhere? It's all too easy to see today's world as a world on the brink. Dr. Louis G. Herman is the author of Future Primal, a book that argues that the key to a viable, sustainable future lies in our distant past. He's part of a panel this evening whose theme is Still Here, Personal Truth Quests for Urban Survival, and he's with us in our studio. Thank you so much for coming in.
It's great to be here. Thanks, Chris.
It really seems as if the moment we're in today, historically, we have both the seeds of our imminent destruction and the seeds of our salvation coexisting
right
at the same time.
Right, exactly.
Who's going to win?
Right. Who's going to win? Well, I think we've really, the key to winning is to recognize that the apocalyptic scenario, which we are talking about a little bit before, is real and it's imminent. And to feel that urgency of the destructiveness of our current way of life, industrial civilization on the planet, we've really reached a turning point. There is no way that our mode of living, which is essentially based on short-term, selfish pursuit of profit, is adequate to handling the impact of 7 billion human beings armed with industrial technology.
Dumping plastic into the ocean, taking fish out to the point where, as you were telling me earlier, plastic will soon outnumber fish.
Right. I mean, the World Economic Forum estimates that by 2050, there will be a greater mass of plastic in the world's oceans than biomass of fish. We're running out of fresh water. By 2030, the United Nations, the latest report on fresh water, has calculated that demand for fresh water, this is drinking water, will overshoot supply by 40%. About more than half the world's population is drawing water from underground aquifers at an unsustainable rate. Deserts are expanding in 100 countries across the world. So there's absolutely no way we can continue on this trajectory. This requires a different way of thinking, a different way of making decisions, radically different way of making decisions.
What gets us there?
We've got to take a big picture. We've got to look back into the deep past. We've got to understand who we are, where we come from, and get an idea of where we'll go if we don't change our course and where we could go if we understand our true nature, which is a creature produced by 4.5 billion years of evolution on Earth that is capable of knowledge and choice, that human beings are defined by their capacity for self-reflective consciousness, their capacity to actually be aware of themselves and be aware of their own consciousness as the condition for learning. And that gives us freedom. We can choose. And that freedom has real consequences. It's not free unless we're free to screw up. And we are clearly doing that. We know that in our personal lives, that our choices depend on our knowledge. As a species, we are not doing that. We don't have a model of decision-making. We don't have an economic model and a political model where decisions are made on the basis of wisdom, on the basis of understanding the big picture and our deep nature.
There are ample reasons to believe that we're moving in the direction you describe. The thing that dogs me is, will we get there in time?
It's a
real
question.
The momentum seems to be going in the other direction.
Absolutely. Certainly on the surface, definitely going in the other direction. But this is the nature of the sort of massive turning point that we're facing in the history of civilization. And not only the history of civilization, the history of humanity on the face of the earth. I mean, if you think 10,000 years ago, we were all living, our ancestors were living as hunter-gatherers. We were living in pristine wilderness. Everything was organic. Everything was in its exquisite natural Garden of Eden state. We are living in small bands, caring and sharing.
Which were sustainable because we acted on our primal nature to create sustainable society, self-supporting, supporting and caring for one another. So we're capable of it. We as humans are capable of it.
Right. There was a template which kept these societies really stable for about 100,000 years. I mean, it seems as if our best understanding of human emergence, I mean, this is also quite mysterious how this happened, but we know quite a bit about that leap into modern human consciousness, which happened between 200 and 100,000 years. And then human societies remained relatively small based on caring and sharing until about 10,000 years ago. and in a relative balance with the natural world. But there was no sense of the global reality of what planet Earth was, of the deep history of the Earth, that the Earth itself has been evolving for almost 5 billion years and is part of a solar system, part of a galaxy, part of a universe that has been evolving for 14 billion years. This is now presenting us with an image of radical change being built into the structure of reality. So these societies ceased to become viable as hunting-gathering societies because of human population explosion around 10,000 years ago when agriculture started. The classical civilizations only developed after about another 5,000 years. So they've only been around, you know, since 3,000 BC.
The blink of an eye in historical terms.
Absolutely. And what has been happening all the time is a separation from that intuitive understanding of our earthly nature, the fact that human beings are actually produced by a living, evolving earth. That was central to the understanding of hunting-gathering societies and has been retained actually by most indigenous societies. So what is so exciting now is that we all waking up to understand that our form of life now, that the story that we've been telling us that organizes our economics and our politics is no longer viable. We've reached a dead end. And that we can now look back and look at those societies that marked that turning point where we separated ourselves and our thinking from the earth, from the larger picture. And that is converging with the revival of indigenous wisdom and indigenous cultures. We see that in the Hawaiian Islands with the revival of hula, of Polynesian celestial deep ocean navigation and so on. And so we're starting to reconnect with that old wisdom and then integrate that with the best understanding that we're getting out of science and scientific cosmology to help us plot a way forward. This is just beginning.
It's just beginning. Meanwhile, the very forces that have put us in the mess that we're in are very firmly at the controls right now.
Right, and I think this is symptomatic of a crisis situation, that we've essentially been following a storyline, an idea of what human nature is and how we should make our decisions, which emerged out of the 16th century collapse of feudalism. I don't want to go into too much of a detailed history lesson, but what is fashioned in the 17th century was a sort of a coherent answer to the questions of how we should live. And they came from philosophers like Locke and Hobbes and Adam Smith. And it was essentially an idea that human beings are selfish, acquisitive, aggressive, competitive, that we should have a form of government which would protect private property and protect the freedoms of the individual, essentially a society based on freedoms. Very little thought given to responsibilities for the whole, to the necessity for cooperation, and to the role of service and meaning in human life. It was essentially materialistic and essentially individualistic. This story is no longer working. We're waking up to the fact that we've been living a story which was written for us centuries ago in a completely different reality. And so new storytellers are emerging. A big part of the new story that allows us to connect all societies and all religions and all ethnic groups on the planet is the story coming out of evolutionary cosmology, which tells us that every human being on Earth is part of a single species. We are all intimately related. The DNA in every single human being on Earth can be traced back to ancestors of the Sun Bushmen in Southern Africa, the oldest indigenous culture on the planet, still surviving, barely. And so this is starting to give us a new understanding of what it means to be human and what human life is about. And then you can dig deeper and you can examine the ways of life of these early societies with that sort of template that created such a successful species. You can see how constricted, how deformed our current story is, the current story that's operating. And you can also see that those who have benefited the most from it, in other words, the power, the political and economic elites, and those who've invested the most in it, are going to double down at that moment when it's most threatened. And that is the moment that we're in now.
Yeah.
And so what you see is an intensification and exaggeration of the simplest, crudest,
Our worst impulses,
and the most damaging aspects of that story.
Well, in my desperation to extract good news from what you're saying, what I'm hearing is that the roots of our salvation, the template, is already there. That seems to be what you argue in your book.
That is so exciting. The information is there, and the key is understanding that what defines us as a species is actually our capacity to learn, our self-reflective consciousness. That is the great takeoff point 100,000 years ago, between 200 and 100,000 years ago. And that means that the journey, the next frontier is the frontier of consciousness. It's not colonizing some planet in some impossibly ambitious, hyper-technological utopia. Yeah. It's a matter of exploring what we've neglected for the last 10,000 years in many ways. And that's the inner realms, the outer reaches of inner wilderness, what I like to call the unexplored reaches of consciousness.
At least it's something that's available to us and not, you know, galaxies away. Thank you so much for coming in.
That was a real pleasure, Chris. Thanks.
I really enjoyed it. Dr. Louis G. Herman is the author of Future Primal. He'll take part in a conversation with Bonnie Kahapea Tanner, Ko'olaupoko-based voyager and educator, and artist Solomon Enos this evening at 6 o'clock at the Surf Jack Hotel and Swim Club in Waikiki. And you can get details of that discussion on our Hawaii Conversation Facebook page.